Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know that we are going through an 8-part series on this particular portrait of God, because I see portraits of God throughout Scripture, but this particular one is called He is Our New Life. He is our new life, and we're actually coming to the seventh of 8 messages or broadcasts on this study of how He is our new life, and I'll give you a brief walkthrough in just a moment, but we're coming to number 15, 16, and 17 in our list of 20 ways in which He instills His new life in us. It's extraordinary. And so if you have your Bibles, may I invite you to join me over in 1 John 4. We're going to start there, then we'll go to Ephesians 2, and then 2 Peter 1 as we continue our journey through the love letters of God, just to see how He is indeed our new life. And as you're making your way over to 1 John 4, just a quick reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website. That's at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. That's markpg.org. And on that landing page, you'll see that there's a box that has you can click on for articles that I've written, and then videos, 3-minute videos, devotionals I've done, another one with printed guides, outlines, and infographics of all kinds of topics for the Christian life and for church life and all. And then broadcast. There's a box for broadcast. You can click on that and then click on Portraits of God, that particular series, and you'll have the list of these 27-minute radio broadcasts of the Heritage Hour. So that's at markpg.org. I hope you'll check it out. Well, as is our custom, and in line with the title of that website, Helping You Hear God, let's go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I am just so, so grateful that You've given me the privilege all these years to be able to come together and sit at Your feet with my brothers and sisters and just walk through the things that You've been showing me in my journey of discovering how deep You are and how much You have done for us and have in store for us if we will just abide in You to bear much fruit, Lord. And as we're seeing how You are our new life and how You instill that new life in us, oh, I pray it'll just encourage us and help us realize that we're to live out who we are in Christ. We don't have to impress You. We don't have to try to work for any more love. You love us more than we can possibly imagine, Lord. You are just doing an ongoing work in us, transforming us in so many ways. So thank You, Lord, for that. Oh, we love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, so we are working through this list of 20 ways the Lord instills a new life in us. And let me give you the first 14 briefly. You can check your notes if you've been taking them. And if you're not, you might be able to jot this down or at least get a glimpse of how comprehensive His work is within our hearts and lives. So the Lord is our new life, who, number one, transforms us into new creations. That's powerful, 2 Corinthians 2. And He resurrects our dead spirits. So those first two things we covered in broadcast 1. Broadcast 2, we talked about number 3. He matures our struggling souls, and He gifts us with eternal bodies. Oh, that was a fun topic to cover. And then the third one we covered, number 5 and 6, He makes us children of God and receives us as brides of Christ. Oh man, that's how He instills new life in us, as we see those biblical metaphors that really show us the love of the Lord, how personally He loves us, and how we're the apple of His eye as children of God, or the other metaphor is brides of Christ. 7, 8, and 9 were broadcast 4. He justifies us immediately. He sanctifies us progressively, and he forgives us completely. For those of you that are theologically oriented, you know, and like more of the technicalities, we cover some of that there. And then on the fifth broadcast, number 10 and 11, he heals us creatively and he frees us from bondage. And oh man, how freeing that was. And then 12, 13, and 14, which we did last time, he leads us in spirit, he makes us his heir, and he lights up our world. Now we come to 15, 16, and 17, how the Lord, our new life, enables us to overcome. He saves us by grace, and he instills his divine nature. Oh, this is going to go deep today. I'm really excited about this. So let's start there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and see how he enables us to overcome. One of the big things he does then is giving us a new life. It's a life that enables us to overcome. Here's what it says. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Of course, this is just one of many passages to talk about how we're overcomers in Christ, because we have become one with Christ, because he has empowered us and cleansed us and transformed us and matures us and all the things we've been talking about. We're able to overcome the things of this world, even though they can feel very overwhelming from time to time, and that we're drowning. We're being overcome with waves and waves and waves of struggle, frustration, uncertainty, discouragement, disillusionment, despair. I mean, life is hard. Have you figured that out? It's a bear. It's brutal. Have you come to grips with that, my friend? I mean, we don't want to be Pollyannas, you know, thinking, oh, well, everything's just fine. Everything's just a bed of roses. Well, even if there were a bed of roses, roses have thorns. And Jesus said, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have tribulation. But do not be overwhelmed, for I have overcome the world. So here it is again. That was in the Gospels. And then in 1 John 4:4, as we just read, he writes, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So let me just talk about this a little bit. One of the ways that the Lord has really helped me come to peace with the reality that life is incredibly messy and dangerous is to, rather than seeing it as haphazard, rather than seeing it as just craziness and stuff, well, let's just say life is fluid. Life is fluid. Think of the waves of the sea. Think of walking along the beach, but you see the waves. And depending on the weather, they can be big waves or little waves. They could even be floods from time to time with hurricanes, that type of a thing. Life is fluid like the ocean shores. And big waves can come up. And these waves can, if you try to resist them, they can actually push you down under the surf, drag you across the reef and the rocks, and rip you up. And yet you have people who look for the big waves. You think, what? Absolutely. They're called surfers. Isn't it amazing when you watch on TV these people, these men and women who are skilled at riding those big waves? I mean, it takes a lot of training. It takes incredible balance. It takes constant change when you're on a board. Can you imagine being barefooted on a slick, waxy board, you know, and stuff, and the only strap is there to keep you from losing your surfboard in the waters, but it's only your balance and your training that helps you make all of the immediate adjustments necessary when you're riding a huge wave. That's what makes it exciting. And do you crash from time to time? Sure. Does the board bonk you on the head and maybe give you some bruises or cuts, maybe even broken bones from time to time? Yes. But does that mean that waves are bad and that your surfboard is bad, that you were bad? No, it's just part of the ebbs and flows and the waves and the dangers of life. And the Lord, as we abide in him, he's kind of our surfing coach. To the degree we constantly abide in him, he's able to speak those whispers, my friends, into our hearts to make the adjustments with all of these unexpected things and challenges and even, wounds that come up. That's just life. So we all have seasons, though, when we can feel particularly overwhelmed, battered by the waves. A few years ago, I was in our backyard, and we have these little water retention kind of interconnected ponds and lakes, small lakes. And in our home, we happen to live where there's a preserve behind us. And so there's a lot more wildlife than perhaps normal. Yeah, there are gators there, and all kinds of Florida birds, the big ones and the little ones. And we've seen iguanas, we've seen, of course, the fish, we've seen the snakes, you know, and all. And there's another little creature that we see quite often. And there was a surprising thing that the Lord just showed me one day as I was having a quiet time back there, having a hard time that particular morning. Saying, Lord, you know, we've gone through a lot of stuff. My wife has a lot of physical challenges. Oh, but she's so mighty in spirit and handling them, making the adjustments. But it's been a long haul, and every now and then it can get overwhelming for her, and every now and then it can get overwhelming for me. And I was starting to drift toward a pity party. Lord, you know, you could do better than this. You know, you could heal her, and you haven't all these years. I don't know why, but you know what? Whatever, and this and that and the other. And I was beginning to just spiral down when I noticed there in the waters, just under the surface, were these two turtles. These two little turtles, just, and they were kind of swimming around each other, almost like doing a water dance. It was really a beautiful thing. And the Lord began to use that to speak to me, and he said, hey, son, you see those little turtles? Not real impressive animals, are they? Well, no, turtles really aren't. But look at them, the two of them, swimming there in the middle of this lake, on this preserve, and there's alligators from time to time there. It can be dangerous for them. But I have given them the ability to deal with that. And in the meantime, look at them. They're just swimming. That, son, is overcoming. You know, overcoming, sometimes we get this warfare kind of picture and fighting and all, and there is that degree of spiritual warfare to be sure in the Christian life. But remember that it is the Lord within us who does the fighting. It is the Lord within us who empowers us. It's the Lord within us who gives us wisdom. It's the Lord within us that gives us peace in the midst of the storms, just as he slept at the front of a boat when a big storm came across the Sea of Galilee. And you know what? I was so touched. And my wife and I told my wife that story later that morning. Honey, there were these two little turtles. I mean, they just turtle on. You know, there's all the dangers that they live there, but they are not overcome by it. They are together. It's a good picture of marriage. It's a good picture of partnerships. It's a good message that we're not supposed to be alone, but we turtle on in the Lord together. Dancing in the fluidity and the lakes or the oceans and the waves and the dangers, but also the excitement and the exhilaration and the beauty of all of that in this life, my friends, that is overcoming. You don't have to be a mighty warrior, constantly fighting, pushing forward, go, 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 push, 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 fight, fight, fight. The Lord said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart. It's a gentle and humble yoke we put on that we trust him to cover for us. He's the overcomer. He just does it through us. Now look at the passage with all this I just shared. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, little turtles, and have overcome them. Not with your might, not with your strength, not with your prowess, not with your ability, not with your strategies, but because of the one who is within you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Oh, my friend, just abide in Christ constantly. Marinate in him, and you will be an overcomer. not calling attention to yourself or taking credit to yourself for being a big warrior overcomer, but you're just dancing in the waves of life or surfing the waves of life. You're turtling on in the pond. You're riding the surfboard on the ocean. Whatever metaphor you want to select, the Lord, our new life, enables us to overcome. Turtle on, my friends. Well, number 16 gives us another way in which the Lord instills new life in us, because He is our new life. Number 16, He saves us by grace. Yes, He enables us to overcome, but now we're saying He saves us by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Okay, let me just tell you right now, that is a sermon series in and of itself. This particular passage has so much in it, it's just astounding. So let me see if I can just break it down briefly for you, give an overview of how grace is absolutely the foundation of our relationship and our intimacy and our ministries in Christ Jesus. Look, it's basically when you look at the scriptures, and this is just one of the many scriptures that talk about the incredible work of God all done by grace. And it starts off saying, "For by grace you have been saved through faith," but it goes back even farther back than that, because earlier in Ephesians, this is Ephesians 2, 8 and, through 10 we just looked at, but back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, listen to this. It says, let's start in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." That is Jesus Christ. Okay, now, obviously, this is a passage that has spawned all kinds of theological debates about predestination or free versus free will. And let me just kind of settle that right now. It is both. It is a both and, not an either or. And I think it was Spurgeon who said, it's kind of like one rail of a railroad track and then the other rail of the railroad track, and it's going off into the distance and into the heavens. Now, on our side, they look like they're totally separate. Those two ideas are totally separate and irreconcilable. But somehow, when it gets up to the heavens and in the mind of God, these things are reconciled to both be true. For those of you that are into your theological studies, it's called an antinomy. It's one step deeper than just a paradox. A paradox are two statements that seem to mutually contradict each other, but with some thinking and stuff, you can kind of reconcile it. An antinomy is beyond that. You can't, with our rational minds, limited as they are, reconcile it. But it's true that it's a both and regarding predestination and free will. So let's look at that passage again. Why is it so? It's because of grace. Look at it now in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 8, 9, and 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship." He's been handcrafting us. He had in mind to craft us before the foundation of the world, apparently. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So here's the deal. Are you ready? "For by grace we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. By grace, He draws us to Himself. Scripture says no one comes unto the Father unless the Father draw him. By grace, we are saved." We just read that in Ephesians 2:8. By grace we are healed through and through. We talked about that earlier in this series. Emotionally and physically and spiritually, we're healed. It's part of the process of gaining a new life. We are, by grace, we are gifted with the spiritual gifts, a whole other study. And by grace, we're constantly covered by His grace throughout our entire lives. My friend, it is a comprehensive grace work of God that you don't have to be able to outline and explain and reconcile logically, because this is beyond logic. This is the mind of God, the transcendent, holy mind of God that somehow, some way has us in mind, draws us into Himself, but yet we still have to say yes. He doesn't force us, but He draws us, and we do get saved, but He gets all the glory, because He continually heals and gifts and covers us by His grace. He gives us new life as we've been walking through. And can I just tell you that there are days when the Lord is showing me some things that I did back when I was in pastoral ministry. Now that I'm a pastoral consultant to over 100 churches here in Southwest Florida, and I deal with all kinds of stuff, there's things I see going on that I did back when my younger years. I go, Lord, how could I not see that? And I just get embarrassed. I have big regrets. And then the enemy tries to take me down with that. And the Lord says, wait. Shh. Huh, son, everybody is a work in progress. I was with you then as I'm with you now. I was covering for you. I said, Lord, but wait, it was so bad. I mean, wait. All that time when I was making those mistakes, that's right, you were right there. And you were covering for me. Every time you covered me by your grace, even when I didn't realize it, you still used me despite of all of my frailties, sin, mistakes, frustration, arrogance. He said, yeah. And it makes me fall in love with Him all the more. Wow. So He enables us to overcome. He saves us by grace. And He instills His divine nature into us. Wow. Number 17, He instills His divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 4 puts it this way. Watch this now. Get ready to be bowled over. For His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. My friend, when you got saved, when we saw in our first session that the Lord transforms us into new creations, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How does that happen? Because He infuses, He instills His divine nature into us. We become a new creation. We become part human, but part divine. But we're not the divinity. He's a divinity, but He lives within us, and He's one with us. You know, in one sense, we're always mixed nuts, aren't we? You get the mixed nuts from the grocery store, and there's all kinds of nuts, you know. And we're mixed nuts. We're mixed bags, you know. We got the good side, the bad side, the struggling side, the stupid side, the wise side, the generous side, the gracious. But we're constantly mixed. But let me shift to another mix. I take an electrolytes powder and put it with water. And we're supposed to drink a lot of water, but water gets boring for me, to be honest. And then one of our daughters-in-law suggested this particular electrolyte mix and stuff that has no sugars or anything like that. It's really wonderful. And so, and all different flavors. So I just kind of, actually I do a 1-3 ratio with what I drink. Water, 3 parts water, 1 part of the mix. When I put that powder in there, whether it's strawberry or raspberry or grape or lemonade or orange or whatever it is, it changes. The water changes. It becomes something different than just water. My friend, when we got saved, the Lord makes us partakers of the divine nature. We are part divine because of His presence within us. Is that just astounding or what? That's what makes us new creations, far different than when we were sinners. When we were sinners, we had one nature, and it was sinful. It was original sin passed down to us by our very nature. But then, when we get saved, we become a new creation. It's like water, our bodies now take on a divine mix, and it makes us something totally new now. And that is the deepest part of the journey of discovering our walk and our life in Christ, who is our new life. You've heard me say before, the point of entry is discovering Him as our merciful rescuer or merciful Savior. Then we start discovering He's also our gentle teacher. That's a little layer deeper in the waters, you know. Then the third layer deeper, He's our gracious master. We get to serve Him, not have to serve Him. But don't stop there. Like Dory said in Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. Because He's also, are you ready for this? He's our loving father or loving bridegroom. Both metaphors are there. We talked about that earlier. That's the deeper waters. Do you know how much He loves you? He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He never leaves you or forsakes you. And then the fifth and the greatest depth is our fruitful oneness with Him. He instills His divine nature in us. We're one with Him. This mystery is great, it says in Colossians, but I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, my friend, not only is He near, He is inside of you all the time. Well, Lord, this is an amazing truth. Thank you for this, and thank you for loving us that much as our new life. May we receive it and walk in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, just fall in love with Jesus. Take the deeper dive. He is our new life.